We have a title for our little message this afternoon, and it's called Spiritual Visions That Sustain. And so the title itself is going to mark the beginning of our thoughts this afternoon. And I want to start specifically with thoughts on vision, and namely spiritual vision. There have been many messages that have been preached down through the years concerning this topic. So these thoughts should at least be a reminder or just refresh us concerning spiritual vision. First of all, spiritual vision can only be seen through spiritual eyes. Spiritual eyes or function, they function through and by the Spirit of God working in the heart through the understanding of both the mind and the heart. I hope that that is a definition that will stay with us throughout the little discourse this afternoon. Spiritual vision begins with the believing and the receiving of God's word and his commandments. In the last several messages, there has been a purpose to try and convey, and I will say with feeble human words, the great love of God. But this afternoon, I want us to consider Romans, the fifth chapter. We won't be reading it totally through, but referring to parts of it. And I want to say that in almost anything and everything from which we receive a spiritual vision, it will primarily be through this scripture. That's just a thought that came through my mind or to my mind. In verses 3 and 4 of the fifth chapter of Romans, it says, "We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation," and then I have in parentheses, "works and produces something." So tribulation is something that I think we are all destined to. The scripture plainly tells us that man is born of a woman and a few days and full of trouble. Tribulations can be part of those troubles. And so, if you haven't, and I doubt there's anyone there today that has not already experienced trials and tests and tribulations and everything else that comes under that category, we've all probably tasted it from time to time. But right at this point is where we need a spiritual vision. We need to look beyond the tribulation. And the rest of that scripture says that patience, well, this is my interpretation, patience becomes the product. And then experience becomes the result. And hope becomes the conclusion. So tribulation works something in us, produces patience. And the result is experience. And then, of course, I said the conclusion was the hope. But our spiritual vision is realized through the experience. So, all along the way of walking with the Lord in our life, we're going to have experiences where we need to understand the purpose that God has. And it will be through a spiritual vision of not only the scriptures and what the scriptures say that he intends to use our tribulations for in our life, but these experiences are going to stay with us. We will be building upon each experience for the next one. For the next experience, for the next tribulation. So, our spiritual vision is very important as we pass through these places that, as we had in the last message, when we do not hear the voice of the Lord, we do not feel the presence of the Lord, He is silent. We're going to need an understanding or spiritual vision. So therefore, we need this vision to comprehend and apply all that God allows in our lives. When we enter into a tribulation, a trial, a test, we most of the time do not have an understanding of the direction that God is going. We don't see the end of it. We may not be able to see past the very day that we're going into a trial. So in it all, there should be some kind of vision as to the purpose of God's love for each one of us. So our vision is very closely connected to faith. The scripture says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the things not seen. And Brother Marvin brought us a message on that particular verse, and I believe that it does connect with having a spiritual vision, that it has to do with things that we cannot see. We cannot understand necessarily why it happens, but we continue to have the faith and trust that God is the one in control. I hear that term a lot. God is still in control. Actually, down through my life when I was younger, I do not remember hearing that said as much as it has been in the last few years. I think that when we say God is still in control, we're assuring our minds to trust that God is still in control. So our vision not only is closely connected with our faith, but it promotes spiritual confidence. And you and I must always maintain a confidence, not only in the promises of God, but in the Word of God and in those scriptures that we have hid in our hearts that we might not sin against God. Those are to be there ready to pull up and to try to affect or inspire our confidence. And confidence is a simple meaning of having full trust and reliance on not only on God, not only on His love, but on His promises. So another one, again, our spiritual vision is very closely linked to our convictions. And as we grow in the things, in the knowledge of God, as we develop spiritually in our life, as the word of the Lord becomes more apparent, more alive to us, it develops in us convictions of His word. In other words, the same scripture that He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. I cannot tell you how many times that's been said to me during this place in my life. And we know it is a promise and it is true, but we have to have a conviction that God has said it and that He will not leave us. And again, it has to do with not feeling His presence, maybe not hearing His voice, but we have convictions that He will not forsake us. So, with our light and understanding of the scriptures, it has a direct impact on our spiritual vision. 1 Corinthians 12:13-12, now we see through a glass darkly. And so possibly our spiritual vision may be as this scripture, it may be a little obscure or imperfect, by and through our trials and our tribulations, we will gain the experience. And the experience will be something we will always look back on. I have been able, throughout these many weeks, to look back on my life and to consider the things that God has allowed in my life, the afflictions that He allowed in my life, the end of the affliction. The scripture tells us concerning Job and what he went through. It says, "Ye have seen the end of the Lord," in Job. And so many of the things that we pass through them in a beginning point. We pass through a daily effect of the trial or the test or the affliction or whatever it is I'm going through. And yet there will be an end of the Lord. He will bring us through. Thank the Lord. So it is by and through our trials and our tribulations that we will gain experiences that we can look back on and draw from and have a bright hope. This is all part of the previous scripture, a hope through our spiritual understanding. So probably one of the most familiar scriptures about vision that most of us would probably quote readily is, "Without vision, the people perish." So as we conclude this part of the message, we're going to say it like this: without a spiritual vision in tribulation, the people will perish. I think it's a very true statement. I know that there are times of darkness in a tribulation and times of distress and pressures, and all of these kind of things that are common to man will be experienced in a time of tribulation. There's another scripture that has been even given during the series of messages, and we want to insert it here again. And it says that we are living in perilous times. So one of the perils of our times is in endurance, enduring to the end of a trial or a tribulation. But endurance is very important. We come down to, and this has been said to me over and over, we have to take this one day at a time. We can hardly look to tomorrow or beyond, or else we will be discouraged. So without a vision or spiritual conviction that God has a purpose, that He has His promises, that they are still there, have not changed, without that, we can be discouraged and even ensnared by the devil with negative thoughts, and our vision can become dim. So now I want to go to a second part of our message this afternoon. It's with two verses, Psalms 81 and 16. And it says, "He should have fed them," and then I skip to the latter part of the verse, "with honey out of the rock." Another verse that is very, I say, profound, Deuteronomy 32 and 13. "He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock." So that we really need a strong spiritual vision to apply these verses to a trial of being in a tribulation and having an understanding of what God and His purpose is. So tribulations and trials and tests and afflictions, and you could name anything else that is very difficult and hard they all represent these hard places, such as was spoken of in these two scriptures, a rock. A rock we think of as very hard and non-productive. I know on a mountain where it's mainly rock with very little soil in between the rocks, one little tiny tree could sprout and grow, but it will not be the same as a tree that is planted in good soil. And Jesus gave us the parable of the different types of soil that we can have in our lives, and soil that will produce and soil that will not produce. So rocks were not necessarily a place of producing what we would even call honey. Bees do not normally find the caverns of among the rocks. Or I believe there was one that was, I read that there is a place over in the Middle East, maybe, where it is mountain-like terrain and rocks. And yet, when they did find honey in those rocks, it was of the highest quality, and it was pure. They were found to get in crevices and in caverns, some that would be able to allow the bees to build their hives in these places. And so there are places that honey does come from a rock. But the Lord is wanting to give us a little message this afternoon that we're going to find our place, ourselves in places where it's very hard and difficult, and that we're going to be put to the test and tried, and yet when we come to the other side of it, we want to say, yes, I've been brought out into a wealthy place, and I'm finding that I did receive honey out of a rock. And as it says in this second verse, he made him to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. You know, the Lord, he's wanting to feed us in every event of our life, in every situation, every place that he leads us into. He's wanting us to find food that will strengthen us spiritually. I put it this way in place of one of those other scriptures, I shall feed them with tribulations and afflictions and trials, and their food will be the increase of the fields. And then I added this, in all their afflictions, they will suck honey, or nourishing sweetness that would strengthen them. In truth, even in life's hardest moments, we can still experience the goodness of the Lord. And because we can experience the goodness, then we can also have that hope that we spoke of. I believe that not only will God's people suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, it will be the end result. It will be passing through those places. So I want to read now a scripture, and Brother Dan referred to this scripture this morning, but it's been read here and to me different times, especially of late. Isaiah 40, and I'm going to look at verses 28, 29, and 31. And it says, "Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not nor is weary." I believe that we need to have a clear vision of that scripture and how it should encourage our confidence that God is a great God and a mighty God. We need to still have confidence when the prayers are not answered, when we're still waiting on the Lord. It also says he giveth power to the faint and to the weak and to them that have no might. He increases strength. Another scripture that we need, a spiritual vision that he will do what he says he will do. And then the latter part of the verse, I've sort of put it in my own words. Those who hope and wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall experience something. So what do they experience? Well, the scripture tells us that soaring like an eagle, or run and not be weary, and walking and not fainting. That's the end result. That's the honey that is in the rock, or that comes out of the hard place that we pass through when we feel faint and we feel weak and we feel like we cannot rise above it. And Paul, he came before the Lord and he wanted to be relieved of a thorn in the flesh. And sometimes the thorns in the flesh can be so difficult and so hard. They can represent the rock. And yet, what did the Lord say to him? He said that his strength was made perfect in Paul's weakness. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I suffer this. It's very difficult to be glad when you're suffering in a hard place. And yet, when we feel we are weak, that's when the Lord wants to come in and strengthen us that we can be strong in the power of his might. So that is a verse that I felt went along with the other verses of honey in a rock. Now I want to read a passage in 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter, and verses 27 through 29. And some of it I'll be paraphrasing. I'll start out by saying what the passage is about. King Saul, the children of Israel were in some battles, fighting some battles, and King Saul charged his people to not eat anything. And he even placed a curse of death if anyone should break that charge. And all of the people were growing very faint because they had not been able to eat and they were still facing other battles. So verse 27, it says, Jonathan heard not the charge with the oath. Wherefore he put forth his rod and he dipped it in a honeycomb. And he put his hand to his mouth and his eyes were enlightened. In verse 29, and I put this in here, Jonathan said to the people, because the people knew what the charge was, and they were afraid that Jonathan would be put to death simply because he ate of the honeycomb. But Jonathan said, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of the honey. Oh, I want to tell you, can you see honey out of a rock in that? Getting his eyes strengthened, his body was strengthened. And the people followed him and went ahead and ate and were strengthened. And they went into the battle. They fought the battle. They won a great victory. And they reaped a great spoil from that battle. So I want to try and apply this now to some of our battles. In every case that you and I will be found in a tribulation or a battle of any kind, we have an adversary. The scripture plainly tells us that we will have an adversary, and he is Satan. But yet God, in his word and through our spiritual vision and our convictions, he gives us the understanding that he will give us power over the enemy. And just as Saul wanted to place a curse upon the people if they ate any food, if they broke that charge, then the charge was death. Well, I want to tell you, Satan, today he knows he hath but a short time. The scripture says that. He is working overtime to try to kill, steal, and destroy. Oh, I will tell you that if you pass through any of some of the trials and tests that we've been hearing about from some of the other saints at this time, they're passing through some mind battles. They're passing through some hard places and not knowing how it's going to turn out. But the devil, his purpose is mainly the same purpose that he's always had. It's the same purpose he will always have, clear to the end of the world. Only he is wanting to put a curse of death upon you and me. He wants us to faint, and he also wants us to be weakened. He especially, when he says that he is trying to steal. Well, he's trying to steal our joy in the very midst where we cannot hardly rejoice. Or the scripture says that for us to draw joy out of the wells of salvation. Well, I believe that the Lord wants to bring us to a place that we can draw joy, and we can have power, and we can have grace in the midst of our tribulation. But if you and I will seek for the spiritual vision and get a vision of what that honey will do that comes out of the rock, just as it strengthened and enlightened Jonathan's eyes, and it strengthened and enlightened the people's eyes, and they were able to go forward and fight the battle and win the victory and gain such spoil from the battles. And that takes a spiritual vision for you and me. We can read about the battles that the Israelites fought and won, and we can be encouraged by those. But we are in a spiritual battle now. We're not out here fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against principalities and powers and workers of darkness and all of these kind of things. It's a different kind of battle. So to be able to have my vision and see that I can gain a sweet place from the battles that are very hard, and I can take that honey, spiritual honey, and I can apply it to my mouth, and my eyes are enlightened as theirs were. And for now, the next verse I have is just a little short verse that I want to speak about just a little bit before we close. And it says, "For though we see through a glass darkly," I believe that most of us, if not all, we have not always had a clear vision, and we haven't always had a perception of what God is trying to do in our lives. But as he develops it and as he enlightens us, our spiritual vision is sometimes like that particular verse. We're just seeing through a glass darkly. It's obscure, it's dim, and yet maybe we cannot see for the moment, but we will see. The scripture says, "And ye shall know if ye follow on to know. Well, I believe we could put in there the word see, and then ye shall see if ye follow on to see, if you endure, if you come out on the other side. And then it says, but the latter part of that verse, which is so good, it says, though I know only in part. Well, God is not expecting you and me to know everything instantly. He's ever unfolding and ever developing and ever revealing himself unto us, even in our tribulations. So there's going to be a time I'm going to see it only in part. And then later in that verse, it says, I shall know. I shall know and understand what the Lord is trying to do with our lives. So I'm going to end with some familiar thoughts on Jesus this afternoon. Did Jesus have an easy life? No, he didn't have an easy life. He had some very hard places in his life. And in last Sunday's message, we tried to convey his humanity in the last moments of his life when he felt forsaken of the Father. We tried to show that he had been in the Father in him. He did the will of the Father. We tried to prove that God was always with him and things such as that, and that he should have been able to have borne that to the end. But no, he had part humanity, and right at the end he felt he was very alone and he was forsaken. So I'm going to consider the prophecies of Christ's sufferings from Isaiah 53. Again, I won't be reading all of them. I'm going to be referring to them. The scripture says in prophecy that he was despised and he was rejected. It's very hard for people to reject us and despise us. It hurts. It's a very difficult place. He was a man of great sorrows, the scripture said, and he was acquainted with grief, and he was wounded, and he was bruised, and he poured out his soul unto death. But the scripture also said it pleased the Father to bruise him. Now we believe that Jesus had an understanding and a spiritual vision. He knew what he was coming into the world for, and this prophecy he was very familiar with before he came into this world, and he faced it. Do you think he ever was blessed in the midst of it? We find in places where it says that he withdrew himself and he went off and prayed all night. Don't you believe that he was blessed in that communication with his Father, praying all night, gaining strength, gaining grace, power to face what he had to face? I believe that he had that spiritual vision. And then we want to end with some of the words of Jesus that he said, I am the bread of life. Yes, Jesus is our bread. When he gave to his disciples, when he said, take this, this represents my body, which is broken for you. It was part of the vision, and he wanted his disciples to have a vision of the brokenness of his body, and then he wanted them to understand, you too shall be broken. He gave the cup, and he said, this represents, or this is my blood of the New Testament. And he said, drink it all. Take it into your life. And we know The scripture is a hard scripture because he told the disciples and those that he was preaching to, he said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." He said, "You will have no part with me unless you do." And the scripture says many went away because it was a hard saying. They couldn't have a vision of what might be the result, the end result of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And the scripture also says, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus said those words. He said even to his disciples, he said, "I have bread that you know not of." Well, it was the bread, the heavenly bread, the spiritual bread. And you and I are going to partake, if we take this way, if we take up our cross and follow him, we're going to meet some of these places. Oh, these mostly sound like somebody else doing it to him. But there was suffering in that cup, and there was suffering in that bread. And yet, he is saying to each of us today, when you partake of the cup, when you take of the bread of life, he's saying, do it with a vision. Let your vision be based on faith and confidence. Let your vision be based on conviction. So the Lord is drawing us into places that when we come to the hardest places in our life, and it feels like you're just between a rock and a hard place. Have you ever heard that saying? I know you have. You just feel like there's no way out. You don't see an end. And then he says, hold steady. As Brother Dan said this morning, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It will come. What he says will happen, it will happen. He will bring us forth out into a wealthy place. So I thank the Lord this afternoon that we can have a spiritual vision that looks beyond the surface of what we're going through right now. I'm thankful that it is by the Holy Spirit that it can inspire us to wait on the Lord and to allow him to strengthen us and to not give up and not give in to discouragement. Desire your prayers that the Lord will help me to live this way. Amen.